ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड टॉक्स बिटवीन लॉर्ड शिवा एंड सती वर्स नंबर 9। तस्मिन् भगिन्यो मम वर्तृभिस्वकैर् ध्रुवं गमिष्यन्ति सुहृद्दृक्षवः। अहं च तस्मिन् भवताभिकामये सहोपनीतं परिबर्हमस् अर्हितम् तस्मिन् भगन्यो मम भर्तृभिस्वकैर् ध्रुवं ग्रमिष्यन्ति सुहृद्दृक्षवः। अहं च तस्मिन् भवताभिकामये सहोपनीतं परिपर्म अर्हितुम्। Word to a translation. Tasmin, in that sacrifice, Bhaginyaha, sisters, Mama, my, Bhartrabhi, with their husbands, Sakaihi, their own, Dhruvam, surely, Gamishyanti, will go, Suhrut Didrikshavaha, desiring to meet their relatives. Aham, I, cha, and tasmin, in that assembly, bhavata, with you, Lord Shiva, abhikamaye, I desire, saha, with, upanitam, given, paribarma, ornaments of decoration, arhitum, to accept. Translation. I think that all my sisters must have gone to this great sacrificial ceremony with their husbands just to see their relatives. I also desire to decorate myself with the ornaments given to me by my father and go there with you to participate in that assembly. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. It is a woman's nature to want to decorate herself with ornaments and nice dresses and accompany her husband to social functions, meet friends and relatives and enjoy life in that way. This propensity is not unusual, for woman is the basic principle of material enjoyment. Therefore, in Sanskrit, the word for woman is stree, which means one who expands the field of material enjoyment. In the material world, there is an attraction between woman and man. This is the arrangement of conditional life. A woman attracts a man, and in that way, the scope of material activities involving house, wealth, children, and friendship increases, and thus, instead of decreasing one's material demands, one becomes entangled in material enjoyment. Lord Shiva, however, is different. Therefore, his name is Shiva. He is not at all attracted by material enjoyment, although his wife, Sati, was the daughter of a very great leader and was given to him by the request of Brahma. Lord Shiva was reluctant, but Sati, as a woman, the daughter of a king, wanted enjoyment. She wanted to go to her father's house, just as her other sisters might have done, and meet them and enjoy social life. Here, she specifically indicated that she would decorate herself with the ornaments given by her father. She did not say that she would decorate herself with the ornaments given by her husband, because her husband was careless about all such matters. He did not know how to decorate his wife and take part in social life because he was always in ecstasy with the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic system, a daughter is given a sufficient dowry at the time of her marriage, and therefore Sati was also given a dowry by her father, and ornaments were included. It is also the custom that the husband gives some ornaments, but here it is particularly mentioned that her husband, being materially almost nothing, could not do so. Therefore, she wanted to decorate herself with the ornaments given by her father. It was fortunate for Sati that Lord Shiva did not take the ornaments from his wife and spend them for ganja. Because those who imitate Lord Shiva in smoking ganja exploit everything from household affairs. They take all of their wife's property and spend on smoking, intoxication and similar other activities. Om Ajnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Today, first I will speak based on this purport, and after that I will speak on Damodarashtaka, the prayers that we sing every day for this Kartik month. This purport is very interesting because Sati wanted to go to her father's sacrifice accompanied by her husband. Why? Because she was tempted seeing her sisters going for the sacrifice along with their respective husbands. And she wanted to decorate herself with the ornaments given to her by her father. Because as it is mentioned, her husband was totally incapable in one sense to provide any ornaments. So she wanted to use the ornaments given in dowry by her father. Now, the beginning of the purport itself, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the propensity to enjoy, it is mentioned here that it is natural for women to decorate nicely, to ornate oneself and to go to social functions. It is quite natural in womanhood. We can see there are many beauty parlors. Probably it was more for women than men. But as Kali Yuga progresses, we can't say what's going to happen. But that is a general tendency. In fact, there is a story where we can see one tend to expand one's material enjoyment. Right? There is a story of a brahmachari who was living by the bank of the river and he had only one kaupin, means the undergarment. You know the story? Only one kaupin. Right? Then he used to live by the bank of the river. He used to wash, he used to dress himself, he used to continue his spiritual life. Then he thought, I want one more kaupin. This is how the material desire comes. Nothing serious, just one more kaupin. Very practical. That is a need. Then what happened? He was drying one kaupin on the branch of a tree. Then one rat came along and started eating it. So then what happened? He thought, okay, I need a rat. Because if there is a rat, if I keep a cat, then it can take care of the rats. So I need a cat. So he took one cat in his care and he wanted to look after that. Then he realized, to look after a cat, I need some milk. So he's a Brahmana, he's a Brahmachari Brahmana, so he asked for donation and he got a cow. So as he got cow, his task became more laborious because he had to look after the cow now to get some milk. So he had to milk the cow and then feed the cat. And the cat indeed took care of the rat. So the cycle continued. But eventually he realized, I myself cannot look after this cow. I need a wife. So he got married. So now he has a wife, he has a cow, and he has other paraphernalia. As he got married, he wanted a house because it is very natural. And it is a real need. So he had to find a job. So he found a job. And he has now house, he has his job, he has his wife, he has his cat, he has his rat, and he has his extra cow bean. So the material life naturally expanded. So life continued, he had children, and he became so busy that he completely forgot about his spiritual life. Then one day, in his suffering, because of lack of Krishna consciousness, he approached his Guru Maharaj. Then he said, how everything started. So when they analyzed the root cause analysis, they found the problem was wanted one extra cow bean. That's where the problem started. So the expansion of material life is like that. Just one point it starts and it just goes on and on. So that's where the word stri is mentioned. Stri means to expand. Say for example, if one is single, one lives simply, whether man or woman. Pretty much one shares house with someone. One has a simple life, generally speaking. Of course, there are exceptions. Then, as one gets married, one needs more space. Because one needs a griha, one needs a separate space. That's the reality. Then what happens? If when one has a child, right? Child means child is so small. A baby born is so small, one may think, how much space a child takes? It's such a small space. But the paraphernalia is so much. So one needs a bigger house. So this is the expansion in terms of the byproducts of the body as well as other material arrangements. So this is material expansion. So devotees are careful that we don't just accumulate wealth or property unlimitedly, or we don't endeavor for so much that it becomes atyahara prayasascha, as Nectar of Instruction says, atyahara. It's our endeavor that impede our spiritual life. So devotees are careful to draw that line where how far we can go. Second point here is there is this natural tendency to show off. Okay, of course, outside world is based on showing off. That's why people are classified according to the brands they use. Brands are being advertised by the companies. And according to the brands, people classify, okay, he's wearing such and such branded clothes, so he must be of this caliber. He has such and such car, so he must be of that class. So the material society is dividing based on brands. And when we become devotees, we had to be quite careful. Are we trying to show off? That's why Srila Prabhupada insisted on devotional clothes, right? When we are in the assembly of the devotees, generally we do wear devotional clothes. Why? So it is simple. It's a uniform. We don't need to show off. Okay, of course, the material tendency comes along even in that. We want to show off. Okay, if it's just dhoti and kurta, we want to have a silk kurta which is shining and bright colors. It has embroidery. You know, we have those tendencies coming out. Of course, these are tendencies which are materially driven. So we had to be check. We had to make a check, you know, how far we had to go. Right? Even within the devotional circle. So it can happen in anything. Even when we are playing instruments or singing. Playing mridanga, we are checking who is looking, who is watching. Right? This is how our mind works. So there is profit, adoration, and distinction. These are the three characteristics of material existence. And even as devotees, we are also affected by that. Profit, for example, we think, even in devotional service, one may think, what can I get? If I do this service, will I get any recognition? Adoration, will I get any respect? And distinction, I want to be separate, I want to be exclusive among the company of the devotees. So these mentalities can come to our mind because that's how we are materially driven. So we have to have a check and balance. What kind of thoughts are coming? When we are speaking about Krishna, when we are singing about Krishna, when we are chanting, when we are doing devotional service, if we are taking up a leading position, we have to be very mindful what is the intent behind our activities. So here, this purport is actually showing that tendency which can come grossly or it can manifest subtly within the heart. Going further, here we can see Lord Shiva is completely indifferent to any kinds of social functions or decorations or showing off. That is the glory of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest of the householders because he is a householder without a house. Every householder, to be a householder, you need to hold on to a house. But Shiva doesn't have a house. He is just living on top of Mount Kailash. What is his decoration? He is just wearing a deer skin. He is throwing ashes all over his body. And he has a snake decorating his neck. Is that decoration by a snake? Have you ever heard of that? So why is he doing that? Because he wants to think about Lord Sankarshan, who is in the form of a snake. He has the expansion as the shesha, as a snake. So to remind him of the Supreme Lord, he has snake around his neck. And he is happy to associate with bhutas, ghostly living entities, to give them shelter. So such is the compassion of Lord Shiva. When there was the ocean of poison, right? After the churning of the milk ocean, when there was such an ocean of poison came out, Lord Shiva was happy to drink the entire poison for the welfare of all the living entities. That is the compassion of Lord Shiva. He never drank any intoxicant, never did he smoke any ganja. There is no mention. He only drank poison. But the imitation Shivas and his followers, they do smoke ganja and take intoxicants. One time I was going from Vrindavan to Govardhan in a rickshaw, as we usually do. So in front of me there were two sadhus. They were Shaivites. One was the guru and other was a disciple. So guru and disciple. Guru was completely intoxicated. And disciple, we were talking to the disciple. So disciple told, we strictly follow the principles, regulatory principles. We never associate with women. No meat eating. We are austere. But there is one thing. Since we are followers of Shiva, we can intoxicate. So the guru was setting the example. He was completely out. And as we go down in Govardhan, Guru started chastising his disciple. He was very heavy. He's asking, where is Govardhan? This is not Govardhan. Govardhan is so small. This is not Govardhan. Show me the real mountain. Because Govardhan is small right now. He's saying, where is the big Govardhan? It's not there. So Guru was completely out in intoxication. So this is the so-called followers of Shiva, and Srila Prabhupada is going to one more step further. He's telling that those who actually take ganja, they take the ornaments of their wives and they sell them and they use for intoxication. So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport. So these are imitation followers of Lord Shiva. But those who really follow Shiva, they are great devotees of Krishna. They can follow the austerity which is performed by Lord Shiva. In one sense, Lord Shiva has all the material energy at his disposal. That is sati. Sati is the personification of all material energy because she is Durga herself. We can see in this pastime that Sati decided to burn herself in front of her father. In fact, Sati had, as Durga had, the power to burn the entire universe because she is the personification of all material energy. And Lord Shiva, as the master of Durga, all the material energy, opulence, everything is at his disposal. So if you want to ask who can enjoy, Lord Shiva can enjoy if he wants to. But he is completely indifferent to material enjoyment. That is the glory of Lord Shiva. Even though he has all the material energy at his control, still he is living so simply in glorification of the Supreme Lord. That's why he chants and dances in glorification of Krishna. So this is the glory of Lord Shiva. So in this pastime, glorifies Lord Shiva because he tolerated all the insults. He didn't care. And at the time of punishment, because his wife was burnt, then Lord Shiva punished through his disciples. So this is the entire pastime showing how Lord Shiva was very tolerant and how he acted as a Mahajan and how we shouldn't commit any Vaishnava offense. Rather, we should glorify the devotees and the Supreme Lord. Now, we will speak a bit on the Damodarashtaka. So I request if we have a few copies of Damodarashtaka, we can just pass it on. Then we can just go through verse by verse and speak about some of the glories of Lord Damodar's pastime based on Damodarashtaka as given by the purports of Sanatan Goswami. As you know, this Damodarashtaka is spoken by Satyavarta Muni in a conversation to Narada Muni as mentioned in Padma Purana. Even though this prayer is coming out from the mouth of Satyavarta Muni, and even though it is recorded in Padma Purana, this prayer is considered as an eternal prayer. Means ever-existing prayer. The Vedic scriptures and Vedic prayers and even many Upanishads are spoken by many realized sages. So this eternal knowledge comes out as revelation from the mouth of great devotees. So Damodarashtaka is one of such prayers which is coming out from the mouth of Satyavarta Muni, but at the same time it's an eternal prayer. Another interesting point about Damodarashtaka and as well as this pastime is that one can pray to pastimes of Krishna. We can pray to pastimes of Krishna for protection. Generally we do pray to Krishna or his devotees for protection. At the same time, we can even pray to the pastimes of the Lord. This is exemplified by Narada Muni in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in a conversation to Gopakumar. So here, Narada Muni narrates many, many pastimes of Krishna in nutshell and prays to these pastimes, kindly give us protection. So here, we have a great opportunity that we can pray to this wonderful pastime of Lord Krishna's childhood, which is the Damodar pastime. To start with, even though there are 8 verses and one may see that there is not much of a connection between one verse to the next, there is a very clear connection and there is a clear structure to this entire Ashtakam, entire 8 verses. First verse and the first line is Mangalacharanam. Mangalacharanam means auspicious invocation, auspicious prayers. And then 1, 2, and 3 verses are primarily narrating the pastime of Damodar. So this is the first 3 verses. To start with, it is Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. Right? So Satyavarta Muni is paying obeisances to Krishna and his divinity is established before entering into pastimes of the Lord. Because one may take the pastime of Krishna very lightly. As one get familiarized with pastimes of Krishna, as it happens in India, one take the pastimes of Krishna very casually. Krishna stole this, Krishna did this, Krishna danced with other's wife. One may take it very casually. So to avoid that, the first line itself is establishing the position of Krishna as Ishvara and Sachidananda Rupa. The Krishna is Ishvara, he is the Supreme Lord, he is the controller of all the energies, and his form is eternal and is made of Sat, Chit and Ananda. It is eternal, blissful and all knowledgeable. So initially establishes the position of Krishna. And one more reason to establish this is, as we mentioned, is Mangalacharanam, is the auspicious invocation. The reason for this auspicious invocation is that by auspicious invocation, one can make sure that the composition will be complete in the future. Because one may start a composition, but it may not complete. It may have some impediment in between. To avoid that, there is auspicious invocation. So that auspicious invocation is Namam Ishwaram Sachit Ananda Rupam. Then it gets into the sweetness of the pastimes of Krishna. From the supreme position of Krishna, Satyavrata Muni directly moves into the sweetness of Krishna. That is Lasat Kundalam. Lasat Kundalam means Krishna's Kundalam. Krishna's earrings are swinging to and fro. And when this earring is swinging to and fro, it is kissing the cheeks of Krishna. So the Kundalam is considered very fortunate because this earring has the unique opportunity to kiss the lotus face of Krishna, the cheeks of Krishna. So the Kundalam is very, very special. Next reason is that in the third canto of Bhagavatam, the same canto, Uddhava glorifies the beauty of Krishna. He says, Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. One may wonder that this earring is adding to beauty of Krishna. Because generally, why do we do decoration? Because to increase the beauty. However, in case of Krishna, this acts in the opposite way. So, Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. Krishna is the ornament of his ornaments. So, no one can ornate Krishna. Rather, the ornaments get more beauty because it is adorning the body of Krishna, or it is just present near Krishna. So, here the Kundalam, the earrings, beauty is increasing because of presence of Krishna. So, in fact, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami mentions that the ornaments get the status of being the ornament because they allow themselves to be ornated by the beauty of Krishna. So this is the qualification of being ornaments, because they are being beautified by the limbs of Krishna. So here again, this Lasat Kundalam, the earrings which is swinging to and fro, is being ornated by the cheek of Krishna. So this is the position of Krishna's luster and beauty. After this, it's also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in 10th canto, the gopis are telling, your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees and deer manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. So everyone get completely attracted by the beauty of Krishna. What is the next phrase in the verse? Gokule Brajamanam. Gokule Brajamanam means he shines in Gokula. He brilliantly shines in Gokula. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arrange a seat within their hearts, took his seat in the assembly of gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. So this is how Krishna is brilliantly shining in Gokul. And after this, the pastime begins. What is that? Yashoda Abhiyolukha Ladhavamanam Paramrishtamatyanto To Drutya Gopya. because Krishna was chased by Mother Yashoda. Why? Yashoda was initially nursing Krishna, and since the milk was boiling in the stove, Yashoda left Krishna and went to tend the milk. And Krishna became upset, and he went running, and he climbed upon an upside down mortar, and he reached up to yogurt and butter, and he started throwing everywhere, and he started to feed monkeys. And he even started saying that this butter and yogurt is not at all tasteful, that even monkeys don't want it, because after eating so much, they are spitting it out. So Mother Yashoda carefully followed Krishna, and when she saw Krishna was on top of the upside down mortar, she was about to catch him. Then he jumped from the mortar. That's what that is mentioned. Ulukala la dhammanam. He jumped from Ulukala. Ulukala means the mortar. He jumped from the mortar and he started running. And Mother Yashoda chasing him. So this is the eternal pastime of Damodar. Then finally what happened? Paramrishtam atyantado dhrutya gopya. That is Paramrishtam. With great difficulty, Mother Yashoda was able to catch Damodar. Krishna allowed himself to be caught by the love of his mother. Next, the pastime is continuing. So as the verse is progressing according to the pastime. So first three verses are narrating the pastime. So now, Mother Yashoda has now caught Krishna. Then what happened? When Mother Yashoda caught Krishna and she has a stick in her hand, then what happened to Krishna? Krishna started crying, right? That's why it's mentioned, Rudantam Muhurnetra Yugmam Rajantam. Rudantam, he started crying. And as he was crying, what he was doing? Rudantam Muhurnetra, he was rubbing his hand on the eyes. And all the mascara was spread all over his face. Rudantam Muhurnetra Yugmam Rajantam. And Karam Bhoja Yugmena Satanka Netram. And his eyes became completely frightened. He started crying and he was rubbing his eyes and he became completely frightened. So this is an amazing pastime, because even Kunti Devi remembers this pastime. Right? First canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can read this pastime where Kunti Devi herself says, Bhirapi yad bibheti. Krishna, the fear personified cannot stand in front of Krishna. Then how can that Krishna be in a completely fearful state in front of Mother Yashoda? So this is, in one sense, a complete contradiction. So thinking about this, Kunti Devi says, my mind is getting bewildered. Bhava bhavaneya sthitasya. Krishna was bhava bhavaneya sthitasya. He was completely raptured by fear. And he was standing in front of Mother Yashoda. And the reality is that Krishna is not acting. Jiva Goswami explains this point, that Krishna is not just putting up a show. He's actually frightened seeing the small stick in the hand of Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda had to throw the stick because Krishna was so fearful. So this is not an act. Rather, by the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna is really feeling fear. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord. So, Muhushwasa Kampa Tridekhanga Kantha. Muhushwasa Kampa. He was breathing very heavily. And Tridekhanga Kantha. And the three lines, just like that of, if you take a conch shell, you can see the lines. The same way those lines were visible on the neck of Lord Krishna. And Tridekhanga Kantha Sitagreva Damodaram Bhakti Badham. And he was ultimately caught by the love of Mother Yashoda. That is Bhakti Badham. There are two things happening. One is Krishna is caught by the love of Mother Yashoda. And also later we can see, since Krishna actually breaks these Yamalarjuna's trees, Krishna is actually showing compassion to Nalakuver and Manigreve. Why? Because of the mercy of Narada Muni. So in that sense, Krishna is showing compassion to Narada Muni also, because he wanted to make the words of Narada Muni right. That's why he is showing compassion to Manigreva and Nalakuvera. Krishna himself says, I have nothing to do with enjoyers like you, Nalakuvera and Manigreva, but since Narada Muni has given a promise, then I have to fulfill that. So Krishna is bound by the love of Mother Yashoda and also his dear devotee, Narada Muni. So this is the second verse. Then the pastime continues, and here it's kind of a summary of the pastime, that is, Ididriksva Leelabhir Ananda Kunde. Iti means in this way. In this way, Krishna performed his infant pastimes in Gokul. Ididriksva Leelabhir Ananda Kunde. Ananda Kunde means a pool of ecstasy. Now we can have different kind of pools. Generally with normal water, there's an ocean, or we can have prasadam pool, right? So much of prasadam in Govardhan Hill, we can see so much of prasadam. So Ananda Kunde, you know, I have seen cooking, you know, sweet rice in some traditional temples I have seen in South India. You can see the pot, it's like a kunda, you know. You can see the whole huge pot, and you know, just like a, you know, half of, you know, one eighth of this room, we can say. It's pretty big. 1/8 of the room. That is quite big. Huge pot of sweet rice. That is Ananda Kunda. Can you see? It's a nectar. So similarly, this is not the prasadam. Prasadam Kunda we can immediately relate to. But this is the sweet nectar of Krishna's pastimes. So Sokosham Nimajjantam. Sokosham means all the inhabitants of Gokul. Ghosham means the village actually. The literal translation of Ghosham is village. So he took all the inhabitants of Gokul and everyone plunged into the nectar of Krishna's babyhood pastimes. So Ghosham Nimajjantam Akhyapayantam. So in Sanatana Goswami interestingly says, there are many other pastimes wherein Krishna is in complete control of his devotees when he was just a boy, just a baby. So he quotes the verse like, the elderly gopis would say, here is some candy, here is some sweet balls, here is some laddu. If you dance, I will give you this laddu. The Krishna will start dancing and they start clapping. Just like an ordinary child, how the child is in complete control of the parents or elderly people. Similarly, Krishna was under the complete control of the gopis. So it is mentioned, Gopipi stopito anyat Bhagavan Balavat kochit. It's a very interesting word. Balavat kochit. Balavat means just like an ordinary boy. He acted just like an ordinary boy. Then Udgayadi Kochin Mugdha Tadvasho Daru Yantravad. Daru Yantravad means just like a wooden doll. Krishna acted just like a wooden doll in the hand of a person. Whatever the wooden doll can do, a puppeteer, whatever a puppeteer can do with the puppet, Krishna started acting in the same way to his great devotees. That's why when Nanda Maharaj asked Krishna, bring my shoes, Krishna with great difficulty carries the shoes on his head and brings. And if there is a heavy object, if some of the gopis or gopas tell Krishna to bring, Krishna is very smart. What he does? He just touches the object and, you know, shows like this. I have enough strength to carry that, but I'm not going to lift that. So he shows I have enough strength, but at the same time, I'm not going to lift it. So Krishna was very tricky. In this way, all the residents of Vrindavan went into the pools of ecstasy. So that is Ididriksha Leelapir Ananda Kunde Sokosham Nimajjantam Akhyapayantam Tadiyeshidakeshu Bhakter Jitatvam. So that is the point. That is Bhakter Jitatvam. The Krishna is completely conquered by the loving devotion of his devotees. And Pratyavarta Muni is paying obeisances to that Supreme Lord, Damodar. Next, the verse 4 and 5. So here, pastime and a kind of a summary of the pastime is given. And in the verse 4 and 5 are the prayers of Satyavarta Muni. Because in the verse 4, very specifically, Satyavarta Muni asks, Varam Deva Moksham na Moksha Vadhimva. Varam Deva Moksham. What is the varam? What is the boon that Satyavarta Muni is asking? And even before asking for the boon, he is telling what I don't want. What is that? Moksham. I don't want liberation. Because all the great yogis, all the great jnanis, they are after moksham. They are after mukti. They are after liberation from material existence. And here, Satyavarta Muni is telling, I don't want liberation. I have no desire for liberation. And this verse is even interesting because he says, progressively no to different things. And then come upon what he wants. So first he says, I don't want moksham. I don't want any liberation. Nachanyam vraneham vareshadabiha. You can give all benedictions, but I don't want moksha. I don't want liberation. Second, he mentions, I don't even want Vaikuntha. Generally, everyone wants to go to the spiritual abode, Vaikuntha. He says, even I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. He even rejects the four kinds of Vaishnava liberations. Devotees can desire four kinds of liberation. Salokya, Samipya, Srashti, Sarupya. Means Salokya means being in the same loka, being in the same abode as the Supreme Lord. Or Samipya, getting the proximity to the Supreme Lord. Or Srashti, getting the same opulence of the Supreme Lord. Or Sarupya, getting the same form of the Supreme Lord. A devotee may aspire for such things, but here Satyavarta Muni is rejecting even that. Then finally he is even rejecting the ninefold bhakti. The ninefold bhakti that is considered superior to Vaikuntha or all the four kind of liberation. Because there are verses in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein devotees tell, let me be engaged in your devotional service. I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. So the ninefold devotional process are considered superior to going to Vaikuntha. So here Satyavarta Muni is even rejecting that. So moksha is rejected, Vaikuntha is rejected, the four kinds of mukti is rejected, then the ninefold devotional processes are rejected, and finally what he wants, that he mentioned, what is that? That is the final, sadame manasya virashtam kimanne, gopala balam, I want to simply see your form as Gopal. That's all I want to see. I want to think you in that way. That is a specific benediction that Satyavarta Muni is asking. So it's very clear what he wants. And in the next verse, verse 5, he further explains what form is that. Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta nilair vritam kuntalai snigdha rakteshcha gopya. So this is the cheeks of your blackish lotus feet, which is encircled by locks of curling hairs, have been become reddened like bimba fruits due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. So that's very interesting. Vradam kuntalam snigdha raktaischa gopya muhuschumbidam bimba rakta adharam. Rakta adharam means that is the reddened. Rakta adharam. So this is Krishna's. So he specifically wants to meditate upon Krishna's form, Krishna's beautiful lotus face, his cheeks being repeatedly kissed by Mother Yashoda. So here, he makes his prayer very clear. Now, next, verse 6 is considered the Mula Shloka. Mula Shloka means the seed verse among all 8 verses of Dhammadrashtaka. So the entire prayer is condensed in the 6th verse. And the process to get the mercy of the Lord is also mentioned in the 6th verse. So 6th verse is considered very important. Why? We can see The beginning of this verse itself is glorifying different names of Krishna. We can ask this question, if we want Krishna, what do we have to do? If we want devotional service, or if we want Krishna, what do we have to do? What is the process that we take into? Chant Hare Krishna, right? Any question, our one standard answer is chant Hare Krishna. So if you want Krishna or if you want devotional service, what do we have to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Chant the holy name. So Namakirtan is the solution to all problems and for achieving anything spiritually. So here in the sixth verse is emphasizing that point. That's why the verse itself is starting with different holy names like Deva, Damodara, Vishnu, Ananta, Isha, etc. And here, Satyavarta Muni mentions another very important point as we can see in Shikshashtakam. We know that Namnam Akari Bahudha Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrapita Nyamita Asmarane Nakala Etadrashi Bhagavan Mamapi Durdeva Idrisham Hyajani Nanuraga. We know that Krishna has infested all his energy in all these holy names. But what's the problem? We don't have any taste for them, right? So, in the same way, Satyamrita Muni is showing that the solution to all the problems, the solution to achieve Krishna is chanting the holy name, but I don't have any taste. So, he is showing his utter humility. So, that's why, Trinadabhi Sunichena, Tarorabhi Sahashnana, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sada, Hari. One has to be humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. So this is the way one can come to the platform of Nishtha, where one can chant the holy name of Krishna all the time. So Satyavarta Muni is exemplifying this by saying, Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Adidinam Ajnam. So Sanatana Goswami is actually picking the words rightly. Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow and I am almost like a dead man. So here, Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam, and then Adidinam. Adidinam means I am utterly miserable. Agyam means I am ignorant. So I don't know how to get you. I want you, but I don't know how to get you. So he is presenting his most humble state of consciousness. Okay, so the next. So he is chanting, then he is actually showing his humility. Then he starts saying what he needs. Kripa Drishti Vrishti Anugrahana. Please shower the rain of mercy on me. Uplift me and protect me by your nectarian vision. So here, Kripa Drishti Vrishti Adi. So he's asking for the mercy. And finally, the final request is Edhyakshi Drishya. I want to see you. Please appear before me. So Sanatana Goswami says this verse is very systematically composed. Starting from showing the process, which is chanting the holy name, then showing his humility, then asking for mercy, and finally presenting the case. Okay, I need to see you. And Sanatana Goswami gives further explanation to using different names of Krishna. He says, he uses the word Deva because you are divine. Deva means you are divine, so I have desire to see you. Your form is not material. You have a divine form, so I have a desire to see you. And Damodara, because you have special affection to your devotees. Because Dama means the rope, Udara means the belly. So Damodara name itself shows that you have special affection for your devotees. So definitely you can show your affection unto me. Then he says, you have the name Ananta, because you can have unlimited mercy. Ananta means unlimited. So you can show your unlimited merciful glances upon me. Then he uses the word Prabhu. Prabhu means you are limitless. You are inconceivable. You are amazing and you have all kinds of powers. So even though you are imperceptible to material senses, still you can appear before me. So Satyavarta Muni is using chosen names to glorify Krishna. Then he uses the word Isha. Isha means supreme controller, or he is supremely independent. So since you are supremely independent, out of causeless mercy you can appear in front of me. Because you don't need any particular cause to come in front of me. So you can please come in front of me. And finally he uses the word Vishnu. Vishnu means all pervading. Also means you are all pervading. Also you are expert goes to different caves and groves of Vrindavan to enact pastimes. So in that way, you can appear in front of me as well. And finally, he uses concluding by saying, okay, kindly be present in front of me because you have all these wonderful qualities and you are an ocean of unlimited mercy. So please come in front of me. Now in the verse 7, he realizes that even though the Lord is merciful to his devotees, still not so many people have received his mercy. Here the example is Kuvera Atmajo Badha Murtyeva Yadvat. Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they got the mercy of Krishna. And to get the mercy of Krishna, and one may see the Lord, one may get darshan of the Lord. But if he wants the constant vision of the Lord, it is achievable only through constant loving devotional service. So he prays, Kuvera Atmajo Badha Murtyeva Yadvat Kripa Mochito Bhakti Bhajo Kritavcha. So Nalakuvera and Manigriva, it's not that they got released from that body of trees, but they became Prema Bhaktas. They got Prema Bhakti. Bhakti Bhajo Kritavcha. So in the same way, kindly bestow upon me Prema Bhakti. So this is the prayer of Satyavarta Muni. Because with that, I can constantly be engaged in your loving devotional service, and thus I can get your vision always. And here, Krishna becomes a bit doubtful hearing this prayer. Sanatana Goswami, he has this inner vision. So he thinks, as a Damodar, Mother Yashoda bound me. Now you also want to catch me. You want to catch me and you want to bind me forever. So here, another meaning of this verse is, Namokshe Graho Mesi, saying, I am not really going to catch you. I am not going to bind you at all. I am going to rather release you. So don't worry, Krishna, that I have no intention to bind you just like Mother Yashoda. So you can be present in front of me fearlessly. So this is the mood in which Satyavarta Muni prays. And another reason is he doesn't want moksha because if one has Chintamani, gem, you know, Chintamani. Chintamani means the desire fulfilling gem, jewel. If one has Chintamani jewel, then his all other desires will be taken care, right? If one has that jewel, one doesn't need any separate endeavor. In the same way, Satyavarta Muni wants Krishna. Why he wants Krishna? Then he doesn't need any more moksha. He doesn't need release from material suffering because that is taken care automatically. So that is, Krishna is like Chintamani. So if one gets Krishna, then everything else is automatically fulfilled. That's why Satyavarta Muni is praying in this way. So I don't want moksha. And finally, in the last verse, Satyavarta Muni is glorifying all the tadiyas. Tadiya means the paraphernalia and the devotees who are in connection to the Supreme Lord. So the last verse is not just glorifying Krishna, but tadiyas. Because tadiyas are very important. Because they are connected to the Supreme Lord. So the beginning itself is, Namastestu Dhamne Spure Deepti Dhamne. What is the first glory? For the rope. For the magnificent rope. Why it is so magnificent? Because all the material universes are present within the belly of Krishna. Right? But Krishna has shown universal form twice to Mother Yashoda. It means the entire universe is within Krishna. And this rope is so special that this rope could actually bind that belly. Even the old 14 planetary systems in the form of stem of the lotus flower is coming from that belly. And even Lord Brahma is coming out from that lotus flower. And this rope is so great that rope could actually bind the entire belly, could encircle the whole body. So, Satyavarta Muni is glorifying the rope. And then he is glorifying the belly himself. The reason is, there is so logical. First, glory is for the rope. Higher than the rope is belly, because it is Krishna's own body. That's why the belly is glorified. Then, so that is Namaste Sudhamne, Spuradipti Dhamne, Todiyodaraya, Adha Vishwasya Dhamne. Third is the most dear devotee of Krishna, that is Srimati Radharani. Namo Radhikaye Todiya Priyaye. Sanatan Goswami mentions that by mentioning Radhikaye, it is not only Srimati Radharani, but all the gopis are included by mentioning Srimati Radharani's name. So, Satyavarta Muni is glorifying and paying obeisances to all gopis in Vrindavan. And finally, Namo Ananta Leelaya Devayatubhyam. Finally, the pastime in which Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan are together. So, he's glorifying in generally, Krishna has unlimited pastimes. So, Satyavarta Muni is glorifying all those pastimes and specifically glorifying one pastime, which is the Rasa dance, Rasa Leela, because in which Krishna and all the gopis are together. So that is the highest pastime. So Satyavarta Muni is glorifying that pastime. So in sequentially, starting from the rope to the belly to Srimati Radharani and the pastime in which all the gopis and Krishna are together. So the importance of this Damodarashtaka prayer is that it's a great glory of Lord Damodar, and by taking shelter of these prayers, we can elevate our consciousness and we get renewed enthusiasm to serve the Supreme Lord. So we can try to develop selfless mentality in serving the Lord. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Harinama Chintamani, if we lose taste in chanting, or if we want to increase our taste in chanting or devotion service, one has to immerse oneself in festivities, in festivals, in glorification of the Supreme Lord. So Kartik is such a festival in which we get the opportunity to immerse ourselves by praying the Damodarashtakam, by hearing the glories of the Lord, and also taking some extra steps in our devotion life. So some people chant extra rounds, some people read extra hours, some devotees do extra service, some devotees take some difficult vows like, I won't criticize anyone verbally or other words and through this entire month. So devotees take different kinds of vows to uplift our devotional life and to uplift our consciousness. Extra prasadam. Okay. So one may have to take the vow of, at least if we are taking other food, only prasadam. If somebody is eating other items, non-prasadam, then it is a good vow to take, I will eat only prasadam, honor only prasadam. Like that. Okay. So I stop here. See, is there any quick question or comment? Because we had to stop.
One comment.
Yes, Prabhu.
Shivram Swami giving a very good description of this Gallup.
Yes.
Bilibi.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Damodarashtakam ki. Satyavarta Muni ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hari Hari.